I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Unipod. Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever amazing, ever spectacular Spider Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to a very special episode of Blossom here today. I'm back. It's been a little while. I had a few things going on. I do apologize if you were anxiously waiting for the next episode. I've been a little busy. You know, it's been my birthday, so gave myself a little bit of time off. And this episode is kind of inspired by a couple of things that have been going on in my life. My granddad unfortunately passed away quite recently. And I've kind of been thinking about kind of mortality recently, and the discussion of Avengers Endgame coming up as well, and the possibility we might see some characters die. I really enjoyed the Jack and the Geek Sort podcast about that. I really got into that. But yeah, and I also was reminded that one of our kind of fellow kind of Twitterati people passed away last year, Pow Science. Lovely guy, amazing kind of contributor to Twitter and the podcast, and took in various opinions. Like he would read my articles from Nerdify and take on board things I said, go out and buy books. Wonderful guy, brilliant Captain America cosplay, and just all around fantastic person. He's very much missed by many people that in the kind of Twitterati in the podcastverse, or the podiverse, if you will. Wonderful man. So I've been kind of thinking about it like that. Not too like, too depressing start to a podcast. Yeah, it's going to be a light one, this. So I decided that I wanted to look at one of my favourite comics from a few years ago that really, really got to me, really kind of touched me in an appropriate way, in the nice way, in an emotional way. And it's Captain America. Well, the official title is Civil War, The Death of Captain America, Fallen Son. So this is a small mini-series that was released in conjunction with the famous storyline The Death of Captain America by Ed Brubaker and his seminal run on the character following the kind of Winter Soldier storyline. And we may see elements of this in possibly Endgame or maybe future Marvel MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe films. So that's possible outcome of that. So it was originally, the Marvel have these kind of creative summits to decide what's going to go on in the years ahead. So they're talking about storylines from probably 2 years down the line, and they have to kind of build up to that, or what they're currently writing, or where they want this character to go, and how that might link into what another character is doing, or another writer and artist are doing on another book. So J. Michael Straczynski, who was famous for Babylon 5, he wrote the Thor movie. I think he wrote the screenplay for it and had an amazing run on a lot of the characters, especially Spider-Man, a very long and kind of historic run. One that I really, really enjoyed. And I know Dan Kietis likes that run as well. And very relatable kind of run on the character. And a bit interesting, going kind of a mystical route. But yeah, he suggested the idea that this miniseries should have five issues, and should focus on a different character, and all issues are covering the five stages of grief. So we have, for example, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. So naturally, I'm not sure who came up with it off the top of my head, but obviously it's some psychologists or psychoanalysts. I think it was a team of two of them, I believe, but the names escape me right now. So yeah, so they kind of each character goes through a different stage. My one criticism of this book is it all seems to happen pretty much over a couple of days. They do seem to get through their stages quite quickly, and I think, personally, recently I struggled with getting past a couple of them. May have got myself in a little bit of trouble at work, but it's all good. It's all good. I ironed it all out. But yeah, it's an interesting idea. And Jeff Loeb, who's famous for doing a lot of the Marvel TV stuff, he's kind of the producer of most of the Marvel TV programs, for better or for worse. He's one of my favorite writers, wrote Batman the Long Halloween, and various other, all the kind of color books that they did, Spider-Man Blue, Daredevil Yellow, Hulk Gray, all really, really good stories, seminal reels, with Tim Sale on the most part for the art. So Jeff Loeb felt that he jumped to the chance to do that book. And he, sadly, his son passed away from cancer not long before, and he thought he could use this book as a way to work through those kind of issues that he was having, work through those stages that he may have still been going through. He even wrote, Sam was the name of his son. And I believe when he created a new Nova, he named that character after his son, because that character was known as Sam Alexander. So he said he wants to kind of tackle it in an interesting and his own way. So this is not to take away from, and it's, this doesn't distract from the storyline, the death of Captain America. That is a totally different, you know, I mean, it's not different. It's kind of running alongside that storyline. That has, obviously, that's great as well. I highly recommend that. Do read both. But this one, that one's more like the action adventure, and the death kind of is catalyst for that storyline. But this one, it does focus on the legacy of Captain America and what he meant to people, what he meant to the wider Marvel Universe, which is has a huge impact, obviously, and who he was affected so many of these characters, and that's what this book is about. So I kind of relate to. I mean, there are parallels to other famous storylines, so I consider this kind of the Marvel's the death of Captain America parallels to me the death of Superman in DC Comics. And then again, that's kind of like the main thing happens, the main death happens in those storylines. But the more emotional kind of hard hitting storyline are the following storylines. So a world without Superman, or the world without Superman, is absolutely heart wrenching. And that's where the real heart of the story is. You know, he's had his death. He's had been, you know, the spectacular death or sad death has happened, but it's really the follow-up storyline. And for me, this is the parallel, the Marvel version of that. So a world without Superman is the same as Fallen Son for me. And they're both incredible books. But let's get started. Let's talk about the books themselves. So we'll go with the first stage. The first issue is Denial. And to be fair, this is covered by Wolverine, who is a skeptic. You know, and if anybody is skeptical about somebody being dead or is in denial about it, it would be Wolverine, who has survived everything. Even during the Civil War, he was pretty much nuked and came and was just a skeleton and still managed to heal and come back. And we know in the Marvel Universe, we know in comic books, the death is kind of a revolving door, let's say that. You know, they're either brought back, or it wasn't really them. They were an LMD, a life model decoy, or they were a Skrull, or, you know, didn't really happen. It was an illusion, da 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 da. You know, so this is quite a, I think this, you know, Wolverine is, again, very skeptic. He talks to the Winter Soldier about it at the start of the book, and he's like, I saw it happen. I was there. It definitely happened. I know what I saw. But again, Wolverine's quite skeptical, and he even asks, so Wolverine wants proof that Cap is dead, 100% dead. He wants to see the body, he wants to smell it. He wants to, you know, use those enhanced senses of his to kind of, you know, figure out whether this is a lie, a clone, or, you know, you name it. Various reasons why comic book characters are resurrected and how they're resurrected. There's multitudes of reasons. So I think a fair bit of skepticism is probably quite healthy in the Marvel Universe or in comic books in general. But yeah, so instead of taking the Winter Soldier, says he's got his own agenda. So, you know, you can follow his storyline in The Death of Captain America. And we do see that, and that progresses. And that's a hell of a run, by the way. Just anything by Ed Brubaker, I could highly recommend. And Jeff Loeb and most of the artists involved. So the artists on this issue, they're all done by different artists as well, which is really cool. So it's the I think I'm pronouncing this right. It's Lionel Francis Yu. And I really like his kind of gritty, grim kind of art style. He did some stuff on New Avengers and Indestructible Hulk. Loads of really good stuff. Very unique style. It kind of fits with Wolverine, I think. He's got a great cover for this as well. He's kind of Wolverine's got his claws out. He's got bullet holes ripping through him. So instead of taking Winter Soldier, Wolverine decides to take Daredevil instead, because he also has super senses and he can kind of corroborate the testimony of Wolverine. So they use a kind of Doctor Strange puts a spell on them and they're able to get into the Shield Herald carrier. So again, this is during the Civil War, so some of the superheroes are working outside of the law, and Tony Stark, Iron Man, is going after them. That's, you know, a very famous storyline and made into a film, but not about the same subject, but very, very similar themes. So he takes Daredevil, and they're going to identify the body, but they take a quick detour and they go to interrogate one of the shooters of Captain America, who was Crossbones, who you've seen in many of the Marvel movies, two or three of the Captain America movies. And he goes to Crossbones. He's like, we're going to interrogate. And Daredevil's like, we're not here for that. We need to see the body. We need to, you know, this is the whole point of this mission. And we don't have much time. The spell that Doctor Strange is doing is quite limited. So they've not got, it's kind of, they're completely kind of shrouded and completely invisible to all sensors and stuff, all detection and human or otherwise. They go in to interrogate Crossbones, and it appears that Crossbones has had his memory wiped or altered. So Daredevil's, you know, kind of, you can see on the page, you see like a little, polygraph. It's a polygraph kind of heartbeat changes or anything. So Daredevil and Wolverine are basically lie detectors anyway, human lie detectors. And that's, I'm glad that they kind of kept that. A lot of times people forget his... I know that in the movies they don't really highlight like Wolverine's enhanced senses as much. I always thought that was a cool element to the character. And Wolverine strangely hands kind of Crossbones a gun, and Daredevil's just all the way through this interrogation is like, what's the gun for? Why is the gun there? What are you doing? And basically Wolverine starts kind of insulting him, calling him an idiot, Crossbones, and, you know, call him a loser. He couldn't even get the final shot to kill Captain America. And then he's like, he just basically picks up the gun and shoots Wolverine. And because he's done that, he's like, you've just given me excuse to kill you. So he goes to kind of kill him, and Daredevil stops him. He's like, are you just doing that? Am I just here to kind of justify you killing him in self-defense? Is that the reason you brought me? Because I'm a lawyer. And he kind of shrugs it off, and then he's like, get out of here, that's all I wanted you here for, so just get out. And he's like, fine, I'm going, because we've got no time. So Wolverine appears and he finds the corpse of Captain America, the body, and Iron Man and Yellow Jacket walk in, and they're, you know, Hank Pym walk in, and they're like, oh, you just popped up on our sensors. And he was like, it's really him, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, it's definitely him. He's like, it's quite interesting. It's quite sad for Wolverine to realize that, you know, that man is dead. That man that meant so much to everybody is gone. And just as he leaves, he goes, he basically says, if I find out you had anything to do with Cap's death, I'm coming for you. He tells Tony Stark. And he goes, yep, fair enough. And he kind of just lets him go, because he goes, because they're like, oh, we're not going to arrest him. That's our job. We have to arrest him. And he's like, no, Iron Man knows that I have to go out there and tell everybody that he is actually dead. It's not a hoax or a, you know, or anything like that. He is completely gone. And he goes, yeah, so lets him go. So that's the first stage, denial. Really good issue, really strong issue. The following issue features the Avengers dealing with anger. So at the time, like I was saying, Civil War was it split the Avengers into two teams. There was the Mighty Avengers, which were the government backed superheroes, which had Ms. Marvel, Wasp, Wonder Man, Ares, the Sentry, the Iron Man. They were all on the team. And the new Avengers was kind of Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Wolverine. I think the Thing was on there at that point, maybe, or maybe a little bit later. Spider-Woman, Doctor Strange, Ronin, you name it. So there's two separate teams. So the Mighty Avengers have found out that Tiger Shark, who's a, one of my favourite kind of lower tier villains, is kind of a Submariner villain, and he's gotten the whole horn of, I want to say Gabriel or something like that, and he basically conjures up sea monsters. He makes sea monsters. They control, the person who has it controls sea monsters. So that's really cool. So the Mighty Avengers have got a full on mission. However, the new Avengers are hiding out in the Sanctum Sanctorum, Doctor Strange's house, which is hidden from view from, you know, the government shield and everything. And they're going to have a poker game with a Thing, one of the Thing's famous poker games, which really, really, it's a really fun element that always kind of pops up every now and again. You see like Nick Fury, Wolverine, the Thing, all kind of just, you know, just playing poker. And it's just kind of, I like when, you know, superheroes are put in these very mundane, you know, things like they're having, like the Avengers having to catch a bus, or, you know, they're just kind of drinking around, just, you know, if it, like that scene in Age of Ultron where they have a, they're at a party, it's just the Avengers at a party and they're chatting and, you know, they're quipping and what have you. I think I'd watch a whole movie of that. I don't necessarily need the superheroic sometimes, but it's nice that they're there. So yeah, and everyone's a bit, so this is all about the anger and they're trying to deal with it in two very different ways. So in the poker game, everyone's quite passive aggressive and quite angry. And, you know, Spider-Man's like, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about what's happened. But obviously people deal with grief in so many different ways, and their ways just to kind of keep busy and to carry on and to do what they do. And that's very healthy as well. But Spider-Man is obviously one of the more sensitive of the superheroes in the Marvel universe, if not the most sensitive and relatable. And don't worry, he's gonna pop back up in another stage a little later on. But yeah, he just is not taking it well, and he's been crying, and he says, I don't want to remove my mask. So he's like, well, we're playing poker, you can't wear a mask, which I thought was really cool. And then like Iron Fist is like, well, if Spider-Woman's wearing a mask, Spider-Man's wearing a mask, I'm going to wear my mask. And they're all just like, oh, God's sake. So they're all kind of tearing chunks out of each other, kind of passive-aggressively. And I think this is the better part of the book for me. I do enjoy the Avengers doing their thing, fighting sea monsters and Tiger Shark, which is pretty cool. But I think the better part of the book is the kind of you spending time with your friends and dealing with that grief in, you know, the healthiest way you can, I guess. Even Luke Cage has a go at the Young Avengers. They kind of go out to fight some crime, which is what they do. But he's like, you know, be careful. You know, they're all like, we don't care. You know, don't talk sass to us. We're going to do what Cap always did. And he's like, ah, just let him go, kind of thing. But yeah, it's really kind of tough to see. You know, all these heroes. I think it's quite healthy to see, really, that, you know, even these strong, you know, Things like one of the strongest characters in the Marvel universe, they all are, but they're all so, you know, this is a moment of weakness for them, and it's a sad moment for everybody to grasp and to get over, and it's hard for people to deal with and to work through it in such a small amount of time. So yeah, it's a really cool little issue, and obviously the other side of it, the other side of the story, the Mighty Avengers are kind of kicking the ass of the kind of the Tiger Shark, isn't it? Tiger Shark and all the sea monsters, and Ms. Marvel like just absolutely tears into Tiger Shark, like, and the only person that stops her is Namor, the Submariner, comes out, and he's the poster boy for anger issues. He comes out and goes, "You almost killed him. That's way too much." And they question what they're doing, because they're like, oh my God, yeah, maybe I just took all this anger out on the wrong person, not the wrong person, but, you know, a little too much, went a bit too, like, heavy. This issue's drawn by Ed McGuinness, and he has a kind of a little soft spot for Tiger Shark, just like myself. So yeah, he's a really cool kind of artist. He did a lot of work on, I think it was Jeff Loeb and him did the Hulk series, when he introduced the Red Hulk and stuff. And that was a really, really good run as well. That's a lot of fun to read. But yeah, so, and at the end of the story, we see Wolverine comes in and relays the information Again, this is all kind of happening around about the same time, roughly. Most of it's on the same night, I believe. So he says Cap's actually dead, and Spider-Man starts fighting with him because he's just like, I can't believe it. No, it's not true. It's not true. Starts beating him up, and you know, Wolverine even gets his claws out and goes to stab him. It's like, come on, you want to try for two, kind of thing. And then the thing kind of, just like Namor, the thing goes, right, you guys got to work past it. You're not dealing with this in the right way. You're tearing each other. You know, we should be coming together when you're trying to pull us apart. So the next issue was Captain America dealing with Bargain. Now, this sounds strange because Captain America is dead. But basically it involves Iron Man trying to replace the role of Captain America, trying to make a deal and, you know, trying to get his friend back in some way, trying to make himself feel better by doing that. So that's the bargaining aspect of this issue. And somebody turns up from the dead, turns out of the blue, which is quite relevant, obviously, because of the issue of, like, we've just gone through, like, denial and the anger issues. So Hawkeye comes back from the dead. So he's been believed dead since House of M storyline. Well, kind of, yeah, House of M, Avengers Disassembled, kind of around that area. There was an issue of New Avengers where it's like he's alive, but he's kind of in a weird limbo with the Scarlet Witch. But yeah, he's come back fully, absolutely fully, and this is him back. Iron Man still doesn't believe him. Again, ultimate skeptic. He's like, oh, okay, I can't believe you're alive. He's like, I can't believe what's going on. Da-da-da-da. He's like, yeah. Oh, it's so good to see you. Da-da-da. And then knocks him out. And then he goes and kind of gives him a battery of tests at S.H.I.E.L.D. So he's like, is he a Skrull? He's a clone? He's a robot? He's like, it's a perfect clone if it is, because it's definitely him. And, you know, they wake Hawkeye up and he's like, you know what's been going on, you know what's happened. And he's like, yeah, I can't believe it. He's, you know, what's going on with the world? You know, I've left and everything's gone to shit, basically. And he goes, come with me. And basically he shows Hawkeye the original shield, Cap shield. He says, you know, there's a fake one in the Smithsonian. There's going to be a fake one in the casket, you know, but this is the real article. This is the real thing. And he basically tells Hawkeye to, you know, take it for a test drive. And he's, you know, he's basically thrown the shield on the top of a helicarrier, and he's managed to catch it and do the stuff that Cap could always do with the shield. But he turns around and says, oh, it feels like I'm, you know, cheating with my best friend's girl or something. And Tony's like, why are you smiling? He's like, I've got my helmet on. How can you tell I'm smiling? Because I know it's you. And he's like, you know, 75 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents tried doing that, and 53 in the hospital, and the rest, you know, there's a reason why I wore the helmet. So it's like, nobody can actually throw the shield with any accuracy or do it the way Cap did, but Hawkeye can. And he offers him to become Captain America, the new Captain America. And this is not the first time Captain America has been replaced. There's like, oh God, we must be up to like 10 Captain Americas by now. You know, even ones, you know, just after the war and stuff. Hawkeye begrudgingly kind of accepts that responsibility and thinks he's doing the good thing, thinks he's doing the right thing. And we see the young Avengers who left the Avengers Mansion in the second issue and the anger issue. And they're basically, they've found a supervillain who's trying to steal from a gas station. He's Firebrand, who's kind of one of Iron Man's minor rogues. And they managed to take him out. And Tony Stark and Hawkeye are just watching. And they're like, no, just wait. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, you know, we should help them. He's like, no, just wait. They knock out Firebrand, they beat him. And they're like, right, let's call the cops. And then Tony comes down, Iron Man comes down, and he's like, right, you're going to be arrested. And they're like, what? And they're like, so they run up, they kind of use an EM, Hawk. So the Young Avengers, I don't know if I mentioned that, it's Patriot and the Kate Bishop, who was at the time known as Hawkeye, still is. So she's the new Hawkeye, and you know, like, that's who, he's like, you know, Clint Barton Hawkeye asks, yeah, who is that? And they're like, oh, it's Patriot and Hawkeye. He's like, what? So he stops the Young Avengers from escaping, and he confronts them, and Patriot says, you know, you, who are you? And you better not say you're Captain America, because that's, you know, bullshit. So he does that, and basically Kate Bishop Hawkeye confront. This is the first time they ever meet as well, and they go on to have a quite a, an interesting kind of friendship in the future comics, especially during the I want to say Matt Fraction. Is it Matt Fraction run? Yeah, we'll say Matt Fraction. But really, really cool relationship they start, and it starts here, and she doesn't even know really that it's him. She says, you know, that I never dressed up as Hawkeye. I never played pretend as Hawkeye. You know, that's what you're doing. You're pretending to be Captain America. You're not your own person. I'm carrying on that legacy, but I'm not Hawkeye. You know, she even makes a joke. She's like, even when he wore the headband and the skirt, and that was a look in the kind of early 70s that he had, which, you know, he didn't have any leggings on or anything. It was just like a skirt and a headband. It's not a good look. So he got rid of that pretty sharpish. So she basically says, you shouldn't be doing this. She's like, well, he's like, well, you're stealing the name Hawkeye. And she goes, no, Captain America gave me this name in honor of Hawkeye. And again, you know, that I'm respecting that, but I'm doing my own thing. I dress my own way, but I am carrying on that name, that legacy, but I am still my own person. But that's not what you're doing. So then Clint Barton Hawkeye turns around and says to Iron Man, he's like, I'm not letting you take these kids into custody. And they run away. And, you know, Hawkeye's like, I don't care. You can take all this. You know, he basically says, you know, you're bargaining. You're trying to replace something that wasn't there, just to make yourself feel better. And he's right. And he kind of leaves the shield, leaves the mask. And he's like, you know, I'm going to have to come after you if you join up with the new Avengers, Spidey and all that. I'm going to come after you. And he's like, do what you have to do, because I'll do what I have to do. And then he leaves. So the next issue, this is a puny pod that is running on a little long, but I think I have to talk about this. I have to talk about it in the way that I want to. So I'm going to push it. As long as it's under an hour, we'll call it a puny pod. I am going on to the next one. So the next one is Spider-Man, and he deals with depression in this issue. And I like that he deals with depression because he's a character that's dealt with a surprising amount of death in his short kind of comic book career. Uncle Ben, his parents, Gwen Stacy, Aunt May, hundreds of times. She keeps coming back. So he's dealt with, you know, all the people, Captain Stacy as well, all the people he couldn't save. And he always holds himself fully responsible for that. Even though he isn't, he still blames himself, because that's what people do. And, you know, and he's basically at this point in the story, he's just like, why? What's the point? Is it worth it? You know, it's just constant death all the time. Just, I can't deal with it. And this is like, and he reminisces about, you know, what Cap meant to him, and one of the first times he met Cap when he was fighting the Hulk and he saved him. And his spider sense goes off, and he realizes that somebody else is at the grave of kind of Uncle Ben, Aunt May, and various other kind of people that he's lost, Stasis and what have you, and he's looking at like gravestones. But the spider sense goes off, and he realizes somebody else here. And he's like, no, not here. And he realizes that the Rhino is in the graveyard and starts fighting the Rhino. But the Rhino is actually only there to visit his mother. And he's like, why are you troubling me? Why, I'm just trying to, you know, I just want a quiet moment with my mother. It's her birthday, da, 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 you know, and, you know, Spidey doesn't really listen at this point. He just wants to kind of take his frustration and emotions out on, you know, the big, hard, you know, rough, you know, that tough hide of the Rhino. Just wants to kind of bash his brains in. And he ends up forcing the Rhino to accidentally step on his mother's grave, kind of desecrate the grave, which kind of leads into a more serious battle. And while Spidey is reminiscing about the first time he met Cap, he realized that he's not here to save me anymore. He can't save me this time. I have to do it myself. And he manages to defeat the Rhino. And then Wolverine, who said in the second issue that he wants to check and see if he's all right, kind of follows him, says, you handle that all right. And Peter's still angry with him, still doesn't want to kind of speak to him. And, you know, he's like, you have no idea what I'm going through. I have no idea what it's like. And they end up on the bridge where Gwen Stacy was thrown off, and you kind of reenact. You see the kind of Green Goblin knocking off Gwen Stacy again off the bridge. And Wolverine describes loss in a very real and kind of like poignant way. And I'm going to read it, actually. I've got it here. So he says, try this. It's like somebody shot a cannonball right through your stomach, leaving a great big hole. Eventually it starts to close up, from the outside in. And one day it'll be different. The load won't feel as heavy. Of course, then you hear a song, or somebody will laugh, or the wind will blow the wrong way, and the hole will tear wide open again. So that's your daily dose of real. Yeah, it was quite that kind of... I like the description. It seems quite apt, that feeling of loss, you know, be it somebody who died or someone you used to care about isn't there anymore in whatever context. That was pretty harsh going, but it does kind of follow up with a line which I was like, oh, well, depression is depressing. And I was like, well, duh. I kind of was just like, you know, I didn't really like that line, but that particular one I just read out was really, really heartfelt. Really, really like that. So yeah, let's move on to the final issue. And this is Iron Man dealing with acceptance. And finally, we're at Cap's funeral. So this is a funeral where not everyone is there, because obviously the laws of Civil War have been passed and they probably would be arrested on site if they went. And the new Avengers even say that while watching on the TV. But there are certain characters who went to a technical, like Falcon especially was against the Tony Stark's Registration Act, but he goes and he gives the most beautiful speech. Probably one of the most beautiful speeches I've ever read about, you know, a best friend and a partner talking about somebody that they worked with and cared about so much. And it's great. And he talks about the history they had and how Cap was integral into creating him as a person, like kind of making him a better person from what he was, from who he was, you know, crafting the Falcon on an island that's, you know, swarming with Nazi exiles, you know, that he has to defeat. And they don't show this in the comics, but I'm pretty sure that Cap was in the Red Skull's body at the time. Weird cosmic cube wackiness in comics. Can't get enough of it. But yeah, he talks a little bit about the kind of Secret Empire, the original Secret Empire storyline, which is quite classic and has Cap probably for the first time giving up being Captain America, giving up the mantle to become Nomad. So yeah, it's a really good speech, and the most beautiful moment is where, like, He starts asking people to stand up, where he's like, okay, if you fought with side by side with Captain America, please stand up. You know, if you were there, if you were his partner or were a teammate, you know, please stand up. If you are carrying on the legacy of many heroes, please stand up. And by the end, you know, everybody has stood up. You know, if you're carrying on, if you are, you know, believe in what Cap stood for, please stand up, you know. And it's really quite touching, really quite gorgeous. Before that, though, we have Tony Stark trying to make a speech, and he just kind of says it, I didn't want it to happen this way, I didn't want it to be this way, walks off. The things there as well, I think the Human Torch is there as well. I think they're kind of in the middle ground of the kind of Registration Act. You know, they're not enforcing it or endorsing it or anything. But they were able to be there. Rick Jones as well, who was once Cap's partner as well, he is also there. And he's like, I think the Falcon goes, you know, Rick Jones had the, you know, he had the honor of being Cap's partner as well. He's like, right on, yeah. And so yeah, that's really cool. I won't read out the entire, because most of the issue is the speech. But it's done. That one's done by John Cassidy. Oh, I actually didn't mention the last few artists. So John Cassidy does the final issue. The Depression Spider-Man issue is David Finch, and the Bargaining issue with Hawkeye is John Romita Jr., who I managed to meet at one point, which is pretty sweet. It's a really good issue. And what happens, Iron Man actually holds a separate funeral, because the shield and the body in there is either it's not in there, it's not real, you know, it's a fake. So what they do is they go, it's all the surviving original members, apart from the Hulk, who is, you know, a rage monster. You know, he's not in control, I don't think, at the time. No, he wasn't even on the planet, was he? Yeah, he wasn't even on the planet. He was in Planet Hulk, going through a Planet Hulk storyline, so he wasn't even there. So the only original members of the Avengers are there. So it's Wasp, Janet Van Dyne, and Yellow Jacket, Aunt Pym, and Iron Man. And they basically kind of commit him back to the ice where they found him in the Arctic. They, you know, put his, and they have a, they hold a kind of mini funeral for him, and Tony Stark makes his speech that he wanted to say at, you know, wanted to make at the actual funeral, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. And then the Submariner, who actually rediscovered Captain America in the ice in the comics, he's obviously an old friend of Captain America, and he's like, I would only do this for him. He even says that, you realize I'm not, you know, not going to waste time with you, but I'm here for him, not for you guys. So he kind of, he decides to kind of commit his body to the ice, in this kind of casket, and takes him away. So yeah, and that's how it ends. So it's a really good, again, I don't want to spoil everything, but it's a really good kind of issue, really sensitive issue, really touches on a lot of things that people deal with, a lot of ways of, you know, there's many ways to deal with grief and, you know, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, you have to go through those stages effectively. I do believe that. And I think it's really well done. Again, like my only criticism is that they all go through those stages relatively quickly, which I felt is a little bit unrealistic. They could have stretched it out a bit more, but they just wanted to tie it into the other issues. I don't think he necessarily needed to. I think you could have had a couple of days between, weeks in between, but that's how he wrote it. I highly recommend it. Great artwork from everybody, credible kind of talent involved. Jeff Loeb, very good writer, and it takes back to like Spider-Man Blue and Gray and Yellow all have the main protagonist writing to a loved one they've lost, or talking to a loved one they've lost. That's how they describe like how they met and their love story. And I think it does have shades of that. And I do like that. I really do like those books, especially Daredevil Yellow and Spider-Man Blue. I think they're incredible. I think they're really nice. So if you enjoyed this, I would seek them out. And really, really good. And it's really nice to be back. And I'm sorry that's been a bit of a wait. I've got some guests coming up. I've got some really cool episodes coming up. New things, new subject matters, new themes. So yeah, keep on, not feeding your fandom, but because that was our old phrase for Nerdify, it's been great. So where can you find me? Where can you find me? Mostly recording a lot of the time. mostly speaking on phones at my job. So you can find me on Facebook. If you type in the bar at the top, at Secret Boars, you will find me. On Twitter, it's @Dan_Boars. And the podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, many, many more. Please do. I'm back. Hopefully I have one for you next week. I'm pretty sure I'll be ready for that one. So no more kind of delays and stuff. I'm back. I'm on it. I'm ready to give you loads more content. Please get involved. Please tweet, Facebook, all that other jazz. Tell me what you think of Fallen Sun if you've read it. If you haven't, please go out and read it if you get the chance. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And I really recommend it. I'm so glad I kind of revisited it at this time. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, but thank you for your patience and for joining me yet again. I'll see you next time. Bye bye.